life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are.
Yes.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Before we open up the Bible, I didn't recognize our visitors yet, and we have all the college ladies home for a long weekend. So thank you, ladies, for joining us. Let's see, we got Rebecca, Gabby Bell, Brianna, and all the Julias. And but there's Julianne, right? Julianne in the middle. There we go. And so thank you for being home this weekend. And I'm sure it was all just to see your family and to spend time with them. I asked Rebecca, I said, what'd you most look forward to coming home? She said, for my mom's birthday. I said, good answer. She's two rows behind you. Give a good answer here. She's listening. And so good to have you all here. And then we also have in the back Brother Enebred. And he's with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry and based out of, did you say Idaho?
Yes, sir.
Based out of Idaho, and just finished up revival meetings up in Susanville at the prisons up there with Pastor Root and then Brother Whitlow as well. I think one of the men of the church, and had great revival meetings there. And so if you get a chance and want to give him a prayer card, that'd be fine. If you'd like to pray for their family as they continue. And he's based up in the Northwest, but ends up coming down to California because there's so many prisons here, and Brother Whitlow just can't get to all of them. And so thank you for your faithfulness and your ministry as well. Do we have any first-time visitors tonight? And I didn't catch you earlier. If you raise your hand, I'd like to have a record of your visit. Anyone else? All right, good. Also, I didn't recognize yet, but this morning we recognized our veterans. And as we celebrate our Veterans Weekend, we want to be thankful for those that have served our country for our freedoms. And if you're thankful for your freedoms, thank a veteran, someone that has given their life to serve our country. So I know we did this morning, but maybe we missed some of you. But if we have any veterans in the room, you served our country, if you would stand to your feet, we want to say thank you to you again. If you served our country, stand to your feet. Let's give them a round of applause if you would, please. Thank you very much. All right, if you would take your Bibles out, and we're going to turn to the book of Numbers this evening, the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. And when you find that, if you would stand to your feet, we're going to read a number of verses out of this chapter, just fair warning. If you're like, I wonder when he's going to stop. And so, Numbers chapter 13, and let's read the scripture verses tonight. Numbers 13, verse number 1, and I'll let you know where we're going from there. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers send ye a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." And verse 14 to verse number 16 lists the men that were chosen of each of the tribes to go and spy out the land of Canaan. You know the story, I'm sure. Now from verse 17, we'll read to the end of the chapter. It says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Ramath. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came to the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch, which one cluster of grapes, they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates, and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes, which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses, and to Aaron, and to the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which were come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Well, let's pray as we begin the message. Tonight, Lord, we ask for your help tonight as we get a chance to open your holy word tonight. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, and convict us in our hearts exactly where is needed. And Lord, give us a challenge, an encouragement. Lord, I believe tonight that you show us that we're in one of these two groups tonight. And Lord, I pray that as we search the land and see your will for our lives, that we would get victory and not live in defeat. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we read through the scripture, verse is a familiar passage, but there's nothing that explains the Bible like the Bible. Amen? And I don't need a Bible that tries to rewrite the Word of God and tries to tell us in a different form. And you read the Word of God, and it's very descriptive. Every word that God gives to us, God put it there for a reason. And as God told Moses, I want you to send 12 men and one of every tribe to go search the land of Canaan. And so he took rulers, heads of every one of the tribes to go and search out the land of Canaan. They didn't randomly pick out people from the crowd and eeny, meeny, miny, mo and draw straws to see who would be there. They picked the heads. They picked the rulers. These were men that were respected, looked up to in their tribes. And as they chose the men, he told them, I want you to go search the land. Listen, that God said, I've already given to you. It wasn't a discussion whether or not God would give it to them. They were going to search the land to see what was there, the land, the people, what God was about to give them. So they went to the to the land of Canaan, and they went there for 40 days. And when they went there for 40 days, they saw that it had a cluster of grapes that they tore off a branch of those grapes and they held it between two. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never seen a cluster of grapes that big before, that it'd take two people to carry it. And they brought pomegranates and figs and all these things back. And man, the Bible said, a land that floweth with milk and honey. It was incredible. That's the place that God had prepared for his people, right? God had prepared it for his people. And as they went to search out the land, the only problem was they saw the sons of Anak there, the sons of the giants. And as they looked around, they probably went, oh man, this is great. Look at this. And then they went, jaw drop. Look at these giants over here. And they went, man, it looks great, but I'm not about to go up against a giant. This looks great. I know that God said he's given us the land, but we can't defeat giants. And so they came back, and as you know the song, kids, 12 meant to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? Get your finger workout going. If you've not learned all the songs in Sunday schools, you need to learn them. They're good for you. And so they came back, and 10 had a bad report, 2 had a good report. And they came back and said, man, it's an incredible land. But in verse number 28, the story changes with one word. The report changes with one word. And they said, man, it floweth with milk and honey, and it's incredible. And verse 28, nevertheless. Should have stopped there. Should have ended the report and said, it's great. God gave it to us, and God did give it to them, right? He gave them the land. This was God's will, God's plan for their lives. He brought them out of Egypt to bring them into the promised land. He had a place prepared for them. But they came there and they said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the sons of Anak there. And they said, man, the walls are great, the people are big. And they said, we can't do it. Would God ever ask you to do something that he would not give you the ability to accomplish? Would God give you a task in his will of something that he wants for you to do that you would not be able to accomplish with his help by faith? And the answer is no. If he's asked you to do it, he's given you the ability, the strength, the wherewithal to accomplish it. So they came to the land and they said, nevertheless, we can't do it. And then Caleb speaks up in verse number 30 and he stilled the people. He said, hey, everyone, stop, hold on. And they started to get worried. They were listening, again, the reports of the leaders. And he stopped, he stilled them, and said, wait a second. And they said, in verse number 30, he said, let us go up at once and possess it. He said, I don't care how big they are. I don't care how hairy they are. I don't care what armor they have. I don't care how big the walls are. If God says we can defeat them, then we're going to win. If God said this is our land, if God be for us, who can be against us? No one could stand up against God's people with God's help. And he said, we're able to go up at once, and we're going to overcome it. But then the people continued, and they said, no, we're not able to do it. They're stronger than us. So you see these 10 with a bad report, 2 with a good report. You know, there was 10 that came back defeated. They came back and saw all that God wanted them to do. And let's be honest, when God gives you a task, many times it looks like way more than you can accomplish, doesn't it? You're like, man, this class or my family or my job, whatever it is, and you just think, this is bigger than me. And God's will is bigger than me. It's bigger than you. It's more than I can do in my strength and in my knowledge and my wherewithal. But God said, hey, you can do this with my help. And they tried to still the people and said, we can't do it. 10 came back with a bad report, and these 10 swayed the whole nation. The whole nation, everybody followed the bad report. Guess what? There's been bad media all along as well, all right? It's not new. It's been around for a long time. Forgot to put a plug in. Thank the Lord for God's mercy and grace for our country this weekend with the election. And the hope is in Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful for people that want to go the right direction. Not perfect by any means, but thank the Lord for God's direction and hand upon our country. And so we see that the 10, they swayed the whole nation, and they listened to them. They said, man, if they say we can't do it, we're going with the majority. Whatever the majority says, that must be the truth, right? That's not the truth. Usually the majority is the one that's wrong, and the minority is the one that's following Christ. That's always been the case, still is the case. And then too, Joshua and Caleb said, no, stop, everyone, stop. Hold up. God said, we can defeat them. 10 influenced a whole nation. They lived in defeat. For 40 days, they searched out the land of Canaan. So for 40 years, they would wander in the wilderness, 1 year for every day that they went and searched out the land and came back with a bad report. Only 2 over the age of 20 would get to enter the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. These 2 that said, God, if God's for us, we can do this. I want to ask you a question, a simple question tonight, but I think an important question for every Christian. Are you living in victory or defeat? Are you living in victory and defeat? Too many Christians are going out there and saying, God, I know what you have me to do, but man, I just don't think we can do it. I don't think we can accomplish it. I mean, how could this world ever turn back to Christ? How could I ever make a difference in my job place? How could you ever reach my family member? And we have all that God has given for you to do, but we too many times live defeated. We live defeated and we say, oh, I don't know if God can do it. I mean, I don't know if God is still powerful today like he was back then. I mean, I know God. I have God's word and God's promises and the Holy Spirit in my heart. I know I have all that, but I just don't know if God can do it. And too many times Christians, we're living in defeat. We're living discouraged, thinking, well, I don't know if we can, and we listen to the reports that everyone has to say. You know what? I don't want to live my life on the negative side. I don't want to live my life defeated, discouraged, grumpy, upset. You say, you never do any of those. Never, never once, never have at all. Just don't ask my wife. Or you can live your life on the other side. And you've got 2 men that stood up, that spoke up and said, God said that we can conquer this land, that we can do it. And they'd live victorious. They'd get to enter that promised land that God had given to them. They'd have to wander for 40 years while everyone 20 years old and upward would die off, and they would get to go enter the promised land. No one else 20 years old and upward would get to enter that land. I want to turn you over for a few moments to the book of Deuteronomy to look at a few verses that reference this same passage. In Deuteronomy, in chapter number 1, I want you to look at the progression, or opposite of progression. Someone help me out. Digression. There we go. I knew it was. I just wanted to check and see if that's what it was. The digression of God's people. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, and looking down at verse number 26, actually let's go back to verse number 22, and we're reading the account again of what happened, and it says, and you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land, and bring us word again, by what way we must go, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain, and came into the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out, and they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which the Lord doth give us. But again, look at here, notwithstanding, you would not go up. You would not go up. I want you to look at a few different areas where they start going the wrong direction. And in verse number 26, we'll see this. He said, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. They lived in defeat because they rebelled against God's commandment. God told them, go search the land. I want you to go into the promised land. But they rebelled and said, we will not go in. How many times does God give us a command? God has given us instruction, and we say, God, I know this is what the Bible says, but I'm not going to do it. Could you imagine facing God and saying, God, I will not listen to you. I will not obey you. But it was a matter of the heart. And they rebelled against God, and they would not listen to the Lord. They rebelled against God, first of all. And then in verse 27, it says, and ye murmured. Secondly, they murmured. It says, in your tents. Not out loud, but back in the tents, and said, because the Lord, what? Hated us? And he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. And they started murmuring. They started gossiping. They started talking and said, you see what God's trying to do to us? You see where God's trying to take? God's trying to kill us. And they started complaining, murmuring, gossiping. It started in the heart with that rebellion, and then it came to their mouth. It came out in their speech, and they started talking. And guess what? They started influencing everyone around them. It passed from one to the next, and guess what? They didn't even have technology then, right? You want murmuring, just turn on social media, and you got plenty of it out there. Anyone that I saw, I'm not on social media, said, good for you. You're better off for it. Praise the Lord. All right, they rebelled against the Lord. Then they murmured in their tents. They murmured. They were gossiping there. And then in verse number 28, and then they say, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. They rebelled, first of all. And then second of all, they started murmuring. They started talking. You know what God's going to do to us? You know what God didn't say he was going to do that. They just started talking. You know what? Never listen to people over God. Don't listen to people over God. That's God's commandments. I'm listening to what God told me to do. And then they started to get discouraged. They listened to it. They listened to the murmuring. They listened to the gossip. And then it started affecting their heart. It says, and then said, our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying they're taller than us. Next, after being discouraged, then in verse number 29, then said I unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. After being discouraged, they started to live in fear. Living in fear of this world, living in fear of what the world would do to them, and they lived in fear of the sons of Anak and the Amalekites and all these people. They started to live in fear. Rebellion, and then it started murmuring and gossiping, and then they got discouraged. And then, next, they lived in fear. Then after that, it was up to the Lord. And in verse number 34, and it says, they didn't have faith. Well, there's many other points we could go through. Verse number 34, and the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth. He was angry. And it says, and swear, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers. And he would go on saying, save Joshua and Caleb. And all these things. And then judgment came down upon God's people because they would not obey the Lord. I want to again encourage you and challenge you with this thought this evening. Do you want to be part of the group that's living defeated, discouraged, out of the will of God, corrected for the wrong that they've done, living in judgment? Or do you want to live on the other side? You want to live on the victory side? Living on the victory side, victory in Jesus. Don't you love living on the victory side? Living right with God, doing God's will, knowing you're doing right, not perfect, but trying to do God's will the best that you can. Living on the victory side, that's the way we want to live. Not going around discouraged, defeated, complaining, murmuring, gossiping, and then having God's judgment upon our lives. Are you living in victory or defeat? What was it that caused these people to live in defeat? If you turn back to Numbers chapter number 13, I want to give you 3 points tonight. Are you living in victory or defeat? Number one, they focused on people instead of God. Look at verse number 28. It says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and were very great. Moreover, the children of Anak were there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and all the other ites are there. And he said, but all these people, and instead of having their eyes on God, they had their eyes on people. They got discouraged, they got defeated because they were focused on people. You ever looked on society and got a little discouraged? You ever listen to what people are saying and just get a little defeated? They say, you can't live for God today. You can't raise a family for the Lord. You can't live by biblical morals and convictions in this day and age. You can't do those things. And you think, well, if everyone's saying it, it must be true. You're going to listen to God? Or are you going to listen to people? Are you going to listen to God's word? Are you going to listen to the murmuring and the complaining and the gossiping that goes around even amongst God's people? They're giants. They're too big for us. Guess what? Giants compared to God, no contest. Not a question. Not a battle at all. Remember the people of Canaan? When they heard the Israelites were coming, what were they doing? They were getting ready and they thought, we're going to beat them. They said, we're defeated already. They knew that God was with God's people and they were already defeated. But even God's people didn't notice that. Even God's people didn't realize that because they got their eyes on people instead of their eyes on God. Usually the excuse of why someone doesn't live for God is people. And guess what? We all could have those excuses, couldn't we? Right? I could go down the list and I've got my list. If I wanted to have a list of why I should not be serving God today, I've got a whole list of people that I don't feel like calling out tonight, and you could do the same tonight as well. This person said they were a Christian and they quit on God. This person was a preacher and they were living in sin. This person was a faithful Christian and helping my life and they left God's side. Guess what? We all could have our excuses. But the question is, who are you focused on, God or people? You can look at what the world's doing, listen to what the world is saying, or you can look and listen to God. You have your Bibles tonight. You look in your Bible, we win. Amen? Amen? We win. You say, well, I don't know how the election was going to go. I didn't either. And I was as concerned as you were about it. But no matter what way the election went, we win. Amen? As a Christian, with God in your heart, heaven is your home, focus on God, not on people. Many times the reason someone doesn't go forward for God is because a family, friend, a fellow Christian fails. I'd serve God, but I'd be more faithful to church, but if you only knew. I'd read my Bible and I'd give my life to God, but people. Guess what? I hate to tell you this, but people are going to fail you. I hate to go a step further, but I'm going to fail you. But guess what? God has never once failed. God has never once failed. He's never forsaken you, left you. If God has told you to go conquer Canaan, well, you can do it. And whatever God's will and plan is for your life, you can live for God. I heard this lately by someone. We got a couple bugs flying around. I don't know where they came from. Someone left the doors open too long. I heard someone say this lately about something they were doing and making an excuse why they were not living for God and making a decision that wasn't right. And I said, you know that's not right, don't you? And they said, well, so-and-so did it and so-and-so did it, so it's okay for us. Since when are people our standard? People are not the standard. It doesn't matter if you do it or don't do it. That doesn't make it right or wrong. Let's go back to, what does God say about this matter in my life? Think about Peter and the disciples in John chapter 21. That says, then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, following, which also leaned on his breast in supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter said, what about everybody else? Guess what? If no one else shows up to church next week, would you be there? If everyone else forsook their Bible, would you stay faithful to God? If everyone else threw aside their convictions, would you focus on what people are doing, or would you focus on what God wants for you to do? I say that we focus on God. What is that to thee? Galatians 5:7 says, ye did run well. And then it says, as who did hinder you, that you should not obey the truth? Too many people are listening to the false reports of the 10 spies that came back with an evil report. You know, God says, don't listen to them. You don't want them to hinder you. You don't want to stop because of someone else. Keep going for God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You want to live in victory or defeat? Let's keep our eyes on God. Number two, instead of focusing on people, focus on God. Number two, they lived in fear instead of faith. In Numbers chapter 13, verse number 30, it says, after they gave their bad report, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. It would continue on that in verse number 33, it says, we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, and which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight. Look at the words that God uses. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. In their perspective, we're little grasshoppers compared to these giants. And instead of living by faith, they lived in fear. They lived in fear. How many times as Christians do we not go forward for God because we fear what it's going to cost us? We fear what God's going to ask from us. We fear, well, if I step out by faith, what am I going to look like to this world? And do I want to side with the two crazy people that say go invade the giant land? Or do I want to side with the majority and just kind of fit in? Almost everyone, they decided to live by fear instead of faith. God already told them, I'll give you the land. He said, I've already given it to you. Just go look at it. Just survey. Just go check it out. 10 acted in fear, 2 in faith. In Joshua 1:9, you see this phrase repeated many times over these few books. It says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He said, don't be afraid, don't be fearful. And how many times does God say, be of good courage? If you're going to live for God, you're going to have courage. To step out by faith, you're going to have courage. To have a gospel witness in your mouth and in your heart, you're going to have courage. To stand up for God, you're going to have courage. Guess what, young people? To live for God and do God's will for your life, you're going to have courage to stand out for God. You say, I might look different than the world. Good. Christians should look different than the world. We should stand out, not fit in. Two people stood out in the crowd, Joshua and Caleb. They said, we can do it with God's help. And then 10 of them said, we can't do it. We can't do it. Those 10, they would die. God would send a plague and kill those 10. Everyone else 20 years old and upward, they die in the wilderness. They died in their disobedience and in their fear to God of doing God's will, but there was two that made it into the promised land. Don't live in fear. Live by faith. Fear comes from the devil. The devil's the one that said, you can't do it. You can't live for God. You know that person that's failed, you're going to fail just like. The devil's going to lie to you and trick you and murmur, and he's going to try to get you discouraged. Live in faith, not fear. 2 Timothy 2:7, you know the verse. God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if God's not given you a spirit of fear, where does it come from then? Hey, as Christians, I'm not saying there's... The Bible says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Hey, fear is an emotion that God has given to us. And let's be honest, fear can be a healthy emotion used in the right way to protect you and keep you safe. But if God's not giving you that spirit of fear, living in fear constantly, then who does fear come from? It comes from the devil. The devil wants you to live in fear. He's that trickster. He's out there trying to destroy your life. Live in fear. Live in faith, not in fear. Faith comes from God. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You ever had a friend come to you and say, hey, do you trust me? You ever do that? I'm always thinking, what's coming next? That's what I'm worried about. Do you trust me? And I think, ask me the question, and then I'll tell you if I trust you or not. You know, and you get that goofy friend, you do the trust fall thing, you know, catch me. And then they walk away and you crash and hit the ground. You're like, no, I don't trust you. You can't always trust people, but you can always trust God. You can't put faith in institutions and government and different. You can't put faith in people, but you can put faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. God says, "Do you trust me?" And as Christians, we go, "Oh, I'm not really sure." You can trust God. You can trust God. First of all, again, they were focused on people instead of God. They lived in fear instead of faith. And then thirdly, they experienced defeat instead of victory. In chapter 14, verse number 26, we'll look at the verses quickly. Chapter 14 of Numbers, verse 26. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. They murmur against me, saying to them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcass shall fall in the wilderness." Continuing on here in verse number 30, "Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephthah and Joshua the son of Nun." Some, they were going to live in defeat, and others were going to live in victory. And I want to ask you this tonight, Christian, are you living in defeat, or are you living in victory? Are you living in defeat, or are you living in victory? Too many Christians are living in defeat today. Living in defeat, defeated by sin, allowing sin to just wrap you up in your life and living in that sin. The Bible says that once we're saved, we no longer are the servants of sin any longer. That we can have victory through Jesus Christ. You don't have to live defeated by your sin. You don't have to live in bondage to this world. You don't have to be a servant of the devil. You can live in victory. But let me ask you this tonight. Truly, could you say, "I'm living in victory"? Are you really living in victory, or are you being defeated by your flesh, by the devil, by the world each and every day? You know those things that you're working on that you shouldn't have in your life, that God is trying to purge and to cleanse out of your life. But too often we're holding on to the things that we love, and God's saying, "If you give it up, I'll give you victory. If you'll forsake it, I'll help you to get victory in your life." But yet we try to hold on to it. They experience defeat instead of victory. They would never know what it was like to step in the promised land. They would never know what it was like. They would wander. They would go from Egypt to the wilderness, back and then to the edge of the promised land, back to the wilderness. For 40 years, they'd wander. They would never experience victory in their life. Too many Christians wander through their life, sometimes listening to God, sometimes not, but never truly experiencing God's will and victory in your life. But the question for you is, are you experiencing victory tonight? The Bible says we are more than conquerors. We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to live in victory or defeat? Well, of course, no one wants to live in defeat. If you play any game at all, do you enjoy losing? It doesn't matter if I'm playing my 3- and 4-year-old daughters. I don't want to lose to them. There's something inside of me as a man. I can't lose. I try. You know, I want you to make a shot. Make it close, but I still want to win. See, if you're playing a game, you want to win, don't you? And if you don't care about winning, don't be on my team, all right? I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to lose my testimony, but I want to win if I'm playing a game. Well, guess what? The Christian life is not a game, but I want to have victory. I don't want to live in defeat. And too many Christians are living in defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat. But guess what? By your choice. God has given the promise. If you'll simply trust and obey, God's will is right there waiting for you if you're willing to trust and follow Him. Head bowed and eyes closed tonight. Are you trusting God's promises? You say, "I know what God has told me to do, but man, it's hard to do it." Trust God. Obey God completely and immediately in your life. Don't hold back. Don't wait for another day. Obey completely and immediately. And you're going to have to ignore the doubters in your life. You're going to have to maybe step past some that are not going to live by faith anymore.